Welcome to the All Voting is Local Georgia One-Off Recap Conference Call. My name is Rebecca, and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. During the question-and-answer session, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Ayelé Ejiofor. You may begin.
Hello. Thank you all for joining this call. My name is Ayelé Ejiofor. I am a communications manager with the All Voting is Local campaign here at the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. We are pleased to host this telephone press briefing on Georgia's August 11th election, which happened in the middle of extraordinary circumstances, including a pandemic, last-minute polling places, consolidations, and reports of police at polling places. Joining us today are Akrima Kondoker, Georgia State Director, All Voting is Local, Andrea Young, Executive Director, ACLU of Georgia, Vesu Obaraman, Policy Counsel at ACLU of Georgia, Wanda Mosley, Senior State Coordinator, Black Voters Matter, Anna Dennis, Executive Director, Common Cause, Georgia, Galen Tootle, Chapter President, National Federation for the, of the Blind, Central Savannah River, Nisei Ufot, Executive Director, New Georgia Project. Speakers will be available to answer questions during our Q&A session. The operator will advise reporters on how to get into the queue at the appropriate time. First, we'll hear from Akrima Kondoker, Georgia State Director, All Voting is Local.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us on this call. I want to highlight that yesterday's runoff election was much quieter than our primary because runoff elections typically do not have the same amount of turnout, but it's not necessarily because of measurable improvements since that election. Though we didn't see the long lines that is typical in most areas, the same old structural election administration issues that voters experience on primary day remain the same. Machine breakdown, poll worker confusion about basic absentee ballot guidance and troubleshooting, and voters continuing to be disenfranchised from last-minute polling place changes without notice or without effective notice. We can do better, and we must do better for November. As this pandemic continues to wrap our country in uncertainty, we must do more to ensure that voters can count on the fundamental promise of our democracy, access to their vote. Access means improving absentee voting and poll worker training, mandating drop boxes in every county so that voters in every community can safely and securely vote absentee, and rapid, consistent troubleshooting on election day to ensure that voters don't leave a polling place because they are discouraged and ultimately disenfranchised. We mustn't forget that Georgia is a diverse state. We are a diverse community of Black and Brown voters, of people with disabilities, of people who are historically disenfranchised because of elections administration's issues. We must do better, we can do better, and we will do better for November. Thank you. Ayelé, I turn to you.
Thank you so much, Akrima. Next, we'll hear from Andrea Young, Executive Director, ACLU of Georgia.
Yes, hi. Good morning, and thanks, everyone, all of the speakers, for all the important work they're doing on this topic. You know, at the ACLU, we are concerned that voting should be easy and accessible for every eligible voter, and that includes the most marginalized. And so that is our focus. We use litigation, legislative advocacy, advocacy with the Board of Elections, and we are very much involved now in the mechanics, the frontline mechanics of what's happening on Election Day. For that, I'd like to turn to Vesu Obaraman, who is our Voter Access Policy Counsel, who was on the ground and deployed volunteers in 40 voting precincts yesterday to as poll workers. Vesu?
Thanks, Andrea. As Andrea mentioned, we had over 40 polling precincts covered with volunteers. We had multiple staff members, three lawyers on our staff, work at the polls and monitor the polls. Yesterday, I was one of them. I worked in DeKalb County at Cullen Park Recreation Center, 15-hour day. It was a great experience, but we saw some things that could lead to difficulties on November 3rd that need to be addressed. We do have new electronic equipment that's in multiple stages. We have new check-in poll pads, new voting machines, new power sources, new scanners. These things take time to figure out. They also take time to set up correctly, and they take time to close out. At the end of a very long day, that closeout procedure isn't very easy. So what we would encourage counties to do across Georgia, and especially the most populous counties, is to hire more workers. If you think you need 8 in a precinct, hire 16. This will allow more people to be fresh and to take breaks in the middle of the day, especially on November 3rd when we anticipate that there are going to be really, really long lines. So hire more poll workers. You won't be hurt by doing so. Second, the poll pads could be a bottleneck in this process. So set up more of those check-in poll pads, especially when we anticipate voters that are going to come in on November 3rd who have requested an absentee ballot and who haven't received that ballot, and they're going to come in and they're going to try to vote on the machine. If the process for canceling absentee ballots is cumbersome and time-consuming, this will lead to disaster on election day. We could see that even yesterday with the low turnout election, how time-consuming and cumbersome that process was. That really needs to be addressed before November 3rd. So I think hiring more poll workers, getting more IT help to allow for dry runs on the day before, making sure that these polling locations are set up well before 7 a.m., and ensuring that opening and closeout procedures are easy to understand, that's going to be really key. The last thing I wanted to mention, in the middle of a pandemic, we have a situation where social distancing is actually decreasing the number of voting machines in many polling precincts. We know Georgia law recommends 1 per 250 registered voters. We really need to make sure that that number is met for November 3rd. And if it can't be met in a certain facility, a new facility needs to be found, because we can't allow that the process on November 3rd is going to be bottlenecked by either poll pads or voting machines. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Andrea and Vesu. Next, we'll hear from Wanda Mosley, Senior State Coordinator, Black Voters Matter.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to be here with my amazing colleagues who have been doing work to ensure that we have free and fair elections in Georgia for a number of years. So, not as long lines, but still some lines. Definitely inadequate machines and equipment failures. Poll workers who are under-trained, and confusion. So must be election day in Georgia. Wash, rinse, repeat. That is the cycle that we have seen play out for years, and we are tired of it, and we are frustrated. The 15th Amendment of the Constitution guarantees us free and fair elections, and to that end, our Secretary of State has failed miserably to do that. We know that in our state, the demographics are changing and changing rapidly. And so that is causing the party in power to make a lot of decisions and do a lot of work out of fear. This all harkens back to the gutting of the Voting Rights Act in 2013. Since then, our state has seen over 200 poll closures, as well as any number of strategic and planned incidents and decisions that continue to further disenfranchise Black and brown voters, folks in our Latinx community, Asian community, and our disabled communities. This is all part of a strategic plan to keep certain people home on election day. Sadly, we just commemorated the 55th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act, and now here we are, several years removed from that Supreme Court decision that has basically rendered that act useless for us here in Georgia. Removing the preclearance section, Section 5, has paved the way for strategic efforts of voter suppression, and we are all feeling the effects of that. The stakes are super high this year, because we know that this is a census year, and 2021 will be redistricting. So we expect to see more of these shenanigans, more of this disenfranchisement, more of these strategic and systemic efforts to continue to suppress votes in Georgia. We are frustrated. We are tired. We will continue to fight. We will continue to raise these issues. We will continue to point out these inequities. We will continue to offer solid solutions to address these issues that have been put in place by elected and appointed officials in power to try to hold on to that power. We are tired. We are frustrated. But we are not in any way, shape, or form giving up this fight. And now, on top of all of that, we add a pandemic that is going to require more of our folks to use the vote-by-mail system. We expect to see more challenges with signatures, lack of drop boxes, and other things, again, meant to disenfranchise certain voters in our state. But understand, we are vigilant. We know these rules. We are working together. Our efforts to overcome all of that are strong and strategic and planned, and we are here in this fight to the end. We will not sit idly by and watch those in power take away our most precious right as Americans, the right to vote. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wanda. Now we'll hear from Anna Dennis, Executive Director, Common Cause, Georgia.
Good morning, all, and thank you all for having me. Thank you for the other presenters and folks that we are working hard in coalition with to build a better Georgia and a better election system for Georgia. No one should view yesterday's runoff as a test run for the November election. More than 4 million people voted in the June primary. Yesterday's numbers were nowhere near that. Turnout in November is expected to be over 5 million. Georgia's election systems need to be ready for the turnout that will be 25% higher than June's turnout. Even with in-person training, even with all the technicians available, there were still problems with the voting machines. In November, any delays in opening polls will lead to long lines throughout the day. Yes, yesterday was better than June, but better than June isn't the goal. The goal is to make sure that every Georgia voter is able to vote safely, securely, and in a reasonable amount of time. Problems yesterday show that the system is not ready for November. In certain counties, we saw that poll workers were unable to boot up the ballot marking devices to start voting process. There was 2 hours delays. Poll workers also had access cards that were turned in that actually weren't programmed right, and they had to be reprogrammed throughout the day. There were places that opened late that had 30 minutes to 2 hour delays. There were also poll pads that did not work and people were unable to check in voters. We also saw that there were polling places that didn't even open until 7:40 in the morning and voters had to come back and then hours had to be extended. In February 2019, Common Cause Georgia cautioned against the long-term cost of purchasing these voting systems. And we also cautioned that we needed more paper ballots to be allocated to a precinct and to a jurisdiction. We had asked for the state to give us 10% for emergency ballots and provisional ballots because we knew that with new technology, there will be issues. There will be human error, and then there will be technical errors as well. So in June, we called for the Secretary of State to form a task force including representatives from voting rights organizations to make sure that we can prepare contingency plans for emergency planning through this pandemic and for our new election system. He hasn't done so thus far, which leads us to be concerned that many problems that occurred in June will happen again. So again, we call for the Secretary of State's office to create a task force including voting rights advocates, community members, so we can talk about how we can improve Georgia's elections for November and beyond November, because we have census coming up and reapportionment, and we have more elections to come. We've asked the U.S. Senate to provide more money through the HEROES Act so counties and the state will be able to provide more funding to actually fund our elections. So the problems in June that occurred were avoidable. The problems that occurred yesterday were avoidable too. So we're hoping that this can be better for November and beyond, and thank you for today.
Thank you so much, Anna. Up next is Galen Tootle, Chapter President, National Federation of the Blind, Central Savannah River.
Hello, good morning, and again, appreciate all of us great advocates getting together to discuss the issues that we are facing here in the state of Georgia. Voter suppression, disenfranchisement of the disability vote, i.e. just total breaking of the law, is still in effect here in the state of Georgia. We as blind voters in particular still face the same issues that we faced in June, that we it appears that we will be facing in November. We are just simply unable to access our ballots, to review them, to make sure that the machine printed out the names that we asked them to print. That issue is ongoing. It is a blatant breaking of the law as it relates to the ADA before in Title II. Says that we all have to have equal access to public accommodations, and voting is one of our most inherent rights as American citizens, the right to vote. So we are still at the same place. We're unable to access the absentee ballot process. It is inaccessible for blind people. The security, the privacy as it relates to our voters who are in wheelchairs, those are still issues. And we haven't moved since the conversation that we were having with the State Board of Elections back in the latter part of the past year. So we see in our community, it appears that we may have to move to something a little stronger, because we're only 80 plus days away from the election on November 3rd. And I, as a blind voter, still am unable to access the entire voting process. That is against the law. So what we must do, and I encourage all of us as advocates to push forward to require that these people provide equal access. We were promised tablets so that we as blind voters could access the ballot once we have printed the ballot, so that we can know what our ballots say before we put it into the hopper, and it has not happened. They offered us a Band-Aid solution. However, that solution is not the law. All of the regulations as it relates to the voting process have to be legislatively done for them to be impactful like they should. So we're still on that quest, and I look forward to the election in November. I anticipate it being a real experience for the blind voter, because as I said, the absentee ballot process, which is what we prefer during this pandemic, is challenging for us. So the process is broken. And we, again, as blind voters and disabled voters, we have a hard road ahead of us to make sure that our vote is executed and counted. But again, as some of our advocates have said earlier, we will not quit. We will not give in. And I think at some point we may have to approach it from a legal side, because, again, it's a blatant breaking of the law to not have public equal access to a public process. And then it's disrespectful, because these guys know what's going on. Even as it goes down to the machine, we asked the Secretary of State's office at once, because we were part of the testing process, and we told them that this machine simply was not accessible, and yet they chose it anyway. And then I was on the last call on Monday, State Board of Elections. The accessibility piece didn't even come up in the meeting. And again, we were 80 plus days away. So we got a lot of work to do. The process yesterday, it was a light turnout, but as one of my cohorts said earlier, that had nothing to do with the quality of the process. The quality of the process still sucks. So we got a long way to go, and we're not going to give up. And I'm hoping that those who hear, who are listening to our conversation, please hear us and join us on our mission to improve the voting process for blind voters and the disability community and all Georgia voters here in the state. So I thank you, Ayala, and I yield back.
Thank you, Kalen. Running out our speakers, we'll hear from Nse Ufot, Executive Director, New Georgia Project.
Hi. Yesterday, the New Georgia Project had staff and volunteers cover about 60 precincts across the state of Georgia yesterday. And, you know, like the other leaders have mentioned on the phone, while the turnout was certainly lower, there were still avoidable problems that were identified with Georgians and their experience voting yesterday and throughout the early voting period. We saw polling locations opening late, problems with the machines, a continued sort of lack of familiarity with the machines. In Clayton County, which is a metro Atlanta county south of the city of Atlanta, there were 680 absentee ballot forms that were submitted, about 257 that were rejected. So 40% of the absentee ballot applications that were submitted in Clayton County, one of the largest counties in the state, were rejected. That does not bode well for November. There are still deficiencies that have not been addressed, particularly the number of drop-off boxes that are available to voters across the state. There still is no plan for postage for voters who choose to vote by mail. There are several counties that have taken it upon themselves to send out or make the decision to send out absentee ballot applications to every registered voter, and they are being met with resistance by the Secretary of State. There are 82 days until the November general election, and before that, voters in Atlanta have a special election on September 29th to elect the person who will fill the remainder of our recently departed Congressman Lewis's seat. And it's just important for us to point out that there is nothing that is normal about the time that we are in. Georgians need secretaries of state, a secretary of state, and county election officials who see their job as to remove hurdles to participation. Many of these things, again, are completely avoidable and are at a and are the cost to make them happen are sort of reasonable, and we are looking for Georgia's leaders to make demands to pass the HEROES Act so that resources can move to the states so that we can conduct fair and safe elections where the will of the people is reflected in the results of this election. And I will pass it back to Ayala.
Thank you, Nse. We're now ready to take some questions from reporters. For reporters, please note if your question is directed to a specific speaker. Operator, can you please provide instructions for asking questions?
We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. And we're standing by for questions. Once again, please press star, then one for questions. It doesn't look like we have any questions at this time.
All right. Can we just give it another couple of seconds?
Of course.
All right. This concludes today's call. Thank you all for joining us. We'll be releasing the audio for this call later today. If you have any additional questions or would like to reach any of the speakers, please contact us at press@allvotingislocal.org. Thanks and have a great morning.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.
Thank you.